So I didn't make the cutoff to be able to put it in the bulletin, but here we are. Faith and our five H's, they're equal. The equation, you can change one side to the other, but they all stay in balance. So while I was reading and reflecting on Scripture, I'd come across one H word, then another, and another, until I'd found four, and that spurned to me. I was in 4-H. I'd had 4 H's. And then I came across the fifth H, and I'm like, well, you already stuck with it. So we have 5 H's, not 4. But let's take a look at what we have to see. So on my 4-H, this is how the title came about. It was about 8 or 9, and my parents are here, so don't ask, because I said I was 8 or 9, whether that's right or wrong. I'm recalling back what 4-H was. And I know there were these times we had to give presentations. You'd get up in front of everybody there. It wasn't my favorite at all. I can never remember a single topic I spoke about. Here is what I remember. The leaders saying, they trained you, and at 8 or 9, and I'm saying these words, I'm like, might as well have been Greek, but now you say, this concludes my talk. What? How about I'm done? But anyway, that's the one of the memories of 4-H. So the motto, the pledge, I'm not going to lie, I had to look it up. I didn't remember that. I'm sure we said it just like the Pledge of Allegiance every time we met. I didn't remember it. Then I got to thinking, the one other thing I remember, the one project, I made Rice Krispie Treats and took them to the fair. Although if you look at me now, you'd think you tried to take him to the fair. And I remember this one thing. Well, how'd you cut these? With a knife. Well, they look a little jagged. Did you use a serrated knife? I got marked off because I cut them with the wrong knife. I remember that now. And then rockets. I did get to do model rockets. So that was pretty cool. But here's the pledge. Here's what 4-H stands for, what their mission is, just so that I wanted to share that with you for the H's. And they actually do have 4 H's, and that's kind of how they built this thing. It's pretty cool. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health. Somebody repeating that with me? All right, I was going to say, I knew there would be some out there. So in my health, to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. It's a program that's had impact, and they build it on 4 H's. Well, God's built his on 5, I think. Now there could be more, but these 5 are going to make a pretty strong foundation for anything else that we build. And it's our faith and how our faith is then built. So the Bible always likes to try and describe and explain itself. We look to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So obviously, hope has to be in with faith. It was defined right there in the Bible. It's that hope that then builds and goes across each of the other 4 H's. So they're super H's, because they have hope added on top. And those will be our hope in God's holiness, that we then become holy. Our hope in our honor only because of God's honor. Our hope in our humbleness, our being humble, our humility, so that we can then have our full hope of the healing that God promises us. That's the faith that we take in there. We have faith that God will do just as he says, that he will make us holy. He will bring us to honor when we honor him. He will humble us so that we can then recognize the healing that's needed, and he will then heal us. So we're going to look a little further into this. I want to describe and explain each of the H's only for a brief moment. The one we're going to focus on today is healing. It's the one that was brought out. It started it all, And we'll get to that in our sermon text here in just a moment or so. We look to Ephesians 4:24. We see why holiness builds our faith. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We have hope because of God's holiness, while at the same time, we're being transformed by Jesus into our own righteousness and holiness, but only through Him. Without any merit of our own, we have been linked to terms that will never otherwise apply to any one of us apart from God. And God bestows them upon us. Only God is righteous. Only God is holy. As we continue, we're going to see that our next H, the one that was mentioned, is honor. We can see that in Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being. As most of us know from Exodus 20, we're to honor our parents. Well, that extends immediately to our Heavenly Father. We're to honor Him as well. We also must now see to it of our humility, presenting ourselves and becoming a humble servant of the Lord. And we find that described in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The healing of a nation, the healing of a people, the healing of a land. And this is where we start to get to where I want to focus today, where I felt led to focus. Here is absolutely the part of our faith we have to humble ourselves before the Lord and place ourselves in His will. We have to make that choice to allow Him to use us. He will use us whether we place ourselves in His hands or He takes us in His hands. But the difference is great on the impact of our soul. As we're looking into our fifth H, that of healing, let's take a little bit of a case study and see if we recognize someone who needs healed. So here's a letter, a gentleman writing back, a bricklayer, to an accident claim that he had filed, and they send back a reply, a request for more information. He writes, I am writing in response to your request for additional information in block number 3 of accident reporting form. I put poor planning as to the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more, and I trust the following details are sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel using a pulley, which, fortunately, was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground, untied the rope, holding the load of bricks into it. As I was holding the rope tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks, you will note in block number 11 of the accident reporting form that I weigh 135. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. I had to read this so many times so I'd stop laughing. This explains my fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping, until the fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope, even in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer again to block 11 on the form. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles and lacerations of my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks, and fortunately, only three vertebrae were cracked. I am sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to move, and watching the barrel six stories above, I again lost my presence of mind, and I let go of the rope. That leads us to our scripture text of the day, Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. Are there days, are there weeks when you feel like our case study there, everything you do leads to something worse? It just compounds and builds. But Jeremiah shows us and points us where we have to go. Now, our bricklayer, he absolutely needs some physical healing, okay? His body, I don't ever want that body. It sounds close to what Evel Knievel's body would be, broken, what, every bone almost twice or more? The arthritis, right? Thinking about that. But Jeremiah here is reminding us, we've got to look to the Lord, not only for our physical healing, but we're going to see that there's more to this healing. There's a spiritual healing. We, and yes, I am in this. Unfortunately, you are in this too. We all need healed and spared from our own devices. We need saved and healed from ourselves, from all of our wrongdoings. And that's what God offers. The healing that makes up our faith is twofold. It involves our physical and our spiritual healing. Matthew 9, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I would encourage you to make note of that. Look through that chapter. There are stories of great healing, physical, but also of spiritual. We'll use just a few verses out of there, and I'll try and make note of those. It's a chapter that is very rich in illustrations of God's healing power. It was shown often during biblical times, that of physical healing. And most of those records, they immediately record due to faith. So here's Matthew 9:11. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means," Jesus replies to them. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The righteous Pharisees were struggling to remember Isaiah 53:6. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Pharisees would not have known the passage, or they would have absolutely known the passage from Isaiah. I apologize there. They know that passage. That is from their Old Testament. That is what they hold and cling to. But but they weren't applying it here. They didn't recognize themselves as they had turned from what God wanted. As they were feeling righteous, they were not seeing that they were the sinners that the very doctor that Jesus had come for. They were righteous, so they believed. Throughout Scripture, physical healing is performed, and it shows the power that God has over us, His creation, as we referred to in Revelation 4:11 as well. These are all signs that point that Jesus was allowed to use and to show He is the Son of God, to spur that belief, that faith in God through the Son Jesus. So our next slide, our verse here, we go to Acts 4:14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Just as in their time, as in our time, as back to theirs. Got to see it to believe it. They seen the evidence, and that's why these signs were performed, to show and to bring people to their faith by what they could see. God has granted us something that we can see and carry with us in our hands, in our hearts, on the screen. It's His word. They were yet getting it via verbally at this time. We look then to Matthew 9, verse 2. Some men brought to Him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the man, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." Now, we know that God had been healing people physically, and it seems as though Jesus had a slip in His words. The man was healed, but He didn't say, "Be healed." He said, "Your sins are forgiven." But that's just exactly what He meant to do. Psalm 41:4. David here, "I said, have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Back in the Old Testament, David understood what we're trying to learn about here in the New Testament. There's a time, and that is always, that we need healed from ourselves. This is the spiritual healing, that second portion of the healing process of faith. This is the spiritual healing that every individual needs to remain in the presence of God. We see here in Psalm 51:17, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise." David came to God with his brokenness. He understood that he had to come before God, and that through his humbly kneeling before God and preparing himself in front of God, that his healing would then come. That healing, after you're healed spiritually, there's still scars. The disease, sin, leaves scars. It remains a part of our life until we are ultimately healed into our new spiritual body, where we are separated from all the traces of sin that we currently reside with. The sin, that disease, has consequences. Every choice that we make that's contrary to God's will leaves a scar on our life. We see many accounts of healing in the Bible. We are to recognize them as signs that point to Jesus as the Son of God. We see lots of physical healings. What happens today when we look for those, when we ourselves want to be healed physically, right here, right now? What happens when that healing eludes us? Even after we have prayed, we have fallen before God on our knees, on our faces. And our church joins us in pleading for God to heal us. What happens? What do we do when we haven't got that healing? When God has decided that's not the road to go? We know what we're supposed to do in our mind. Sometimes it's hard to follow it in our heart. we're to look to God's word. As led by Scripture, Jesus here shows us. By Jesus, we are to defer to God's will and give our best to him and be the best examples that we can to those around us. We see that in Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours. We know those scriptures. We just got through Easter. We've studied those. We understand that. Applying that is, however, the hard part. 2 Corinthians 5:7-8. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident. I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. There is the time coming that we will be separated from what we know, what we touch, what we feel every day. What we know now will soon pass away. Once we are separated from our mortal body, our physical body, we are ushered immediately before God. The example is set for us as well, that each of us, we need to be healed spiritually and physically. For these mortal bodies cannot stand in the presence of God, and that's why he has promised us a new eternal body, that we can spend that time with him in eternity. Regardless of our circumstances, may God remind us of his truth from his written word. And that truth being 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are many in this church that helped to spawn this sermon. The healing, it happens when we pass away. We're then healed absolutely fully spiritually when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The pains that we have are gone. This body is no longer failed. It's been restored to God's perfection. We then get to remain in God's presence for eternity. Keeping that in mind, one more little case study. Three buddies die in a car crash, and they go to heaven. They are all asked, when you are in your coffin and friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you? The first guy says, I would like to hear them say I was a great doctor of my time and a great family man. The second guy says, I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher, which made a huge difference in our children of tomorrow. And the third guy replies, I would like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Are we like our bricklayer, our case study of the bricklayer? We absolutely need that physical healing, and everything just keeps getting worse as it progresses. Or are we like one of the three guys that either focus on themselves for what they were, or so tightly clinging to that rope that we're not sure when to let go, like our bricklayer? The gentleman who wants to be moving again, he's clinging to this life. And then that's where we've seen the loss of loved ones from our church. I have a friend reaching the end of his life. Long battle with cancer. He hasn't been fortunate enough to be blessed as some in this congregation that have been healed. His would go down and come back up, but it's back with a vengeance. He's a strong man. I'm not saying he's wrong where he's at, but it brought this question to mind that we have to be ready. How much do we love this life that we want to cling so tightly to it? We need to understand that there is so much beyond this life. As much as it will leave a void in the ones you're sitting next to's lives, when we leave this life, we're going to be in the presence of God. We will be in his radiance, his splendor, his majesty. A time of celebration like never was in our earthly life. By all means, I do not ever mean this in a way to shorten what God has put us here for. We all have to fulfill that purpose, the reason that we're here. But we also, I want to encourage you to reflect and to know that when it's time, you're going to better anyway. But we have to make sure that we let each and everyone know that there is better. As good as it can be, or as bad as it can be here, there is way better. And God wants us to be there with him. With that, I'd like you to stand and close. Lincoln Brewster is going to help us with Everlasting God. Today, I rejoice in our faith and everything that builds into and strengthens our faith. And I want to remind and strengthen everybody the healing that God has to offer. May we grow in that. May we share this with each and every person. There are those in this congregation that are struggling day in and day out with physical ailments. We can encourage them, we can pray for them, but we can't promise that God will heal them. That's where we have to rely on our everlasting Father, that he knows what he's doing. We can still, however, encourage, support them, and pray for them that they will understand God's will, that we ourselves can understand God's will for our own lives. Maybe God can use us to share that with those that are suffering, that we can show them and share with them in their time of pain, their time of need, so that they know they're not alone. We can represent that body of Christ. We might not be able to heal them, but we can definitely be part of the comfort. Let's take this comfort, this healing that God has to offer to the rest of the world. Have a great week.